It's cool. You know, my prediction is, and I want you to know that my predictions are almost never right, but I think, you know, we had have a small group this morning because the cold and the wind and the snow, but I think we're going to find that our second service will be pretty much up to speed. A few announcements that we need to make is we have a monthly calendar that's right out there on the table, and it's for February and March, and it lists all of the events, everything that's going to be going on during this time period. And the idea behind that is we're trying to get everyone accustomed to grabbing a calendar so that we don't have to make a long list of announcements like I'm making right now. But we need to make sure everyone gets accustomed to that. And also, because I didn't get the sheet out early, I need to make an announcement on this. You probably noticed in your calendar that we're planning this Tuesday to have an adult night out. Now, the reason we're calling it an adult night out is because it's for couples and singles. It's just an adult night out. And we're going to be going to Olive Garden, and they're going to set an area aside for us. So we need to know how many are going. So there's a sign-up sheet in the table there. Just put your name down if you're able to go. And it's a fun time to just be together. And so if you're able to, just put your name down there, and that'd be great. And also, we're going to be meeting at 6:30. That's on the thing out there. And, of course, this Saturday is the men's and women's breakfast. And so the men, I need to make sure I get your signatures so I know how much to buy. And also, there's a sign-up sheet for the women's luncheon, plus your choices. The luncheon's going to be here, and Panera Bread's going to be catering it. But there are different choices you can make. And so that's out there as well. Okay. I did good. You know, one of the things I wanted to mention, too, is obviously a morning like this brings up the fact that there might be a time that we have to close. And the only churches that actually closed today were the sissy churches, but, you know, the rest of us were here. But there are times that we have, had to close on a Sunday. And these are some points that generally we abide by. If they're saying no unnecessary travel, we don't want to go against, you know, what they're suggesting. So if they're saying that, we don't have church. And I will have it on the TV and on the radio and on our website. And we're trying to get together, you know, a cell phone list of everyone so we can even do a mass cell phone alert and just let you know when there's no church. And then, of course, there's the old standby. Call me if you're not sure. But especially if they're saying, you know, no unnecessary travel, you can be pretty sure of it. And so let's pray. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to be finishing it up this morning. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name, and how thankful we are for who you are, for your love, and for the way that you're able to work and minister in our hearts and lives. And as we look into this very important portion of Scripture, Lord, I ask that it would not only encourage us, but it would educate us, it would inform us and help us to realize what church is supposed to be and what the purpose of the ministry really is. And now, Father, I ask that you would come and bless us. Bless those who aren't here, Lord, those that might be traveling, give them traveling mercies. And, Lord, we also think of our military men and women who are through all parts of the world. And we ask that you would bless, encourage, and use them to minister wherever they might be. Be with our dear sister Susan as she's finishing up her last stream of chemotherapy. And we're thankful, Lord, that her breast cancer hasn't spread. We ask you to bless and encourage her. And Lord, we also think of Don Myers, Don's father, Ken and Don's father and father-in-law. And we ask that you would be with him and just bring peace to his heart. And just encourage him. And Lord, we commit all things into your hands and ask your blessing upon the teaching this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, it's interesting because in order to really understand this portion of Scripture, we have to realize what Paul was dealing with. See, Paul was an apostle called to be an evangelist who went around starting churches. He actually wasn't called to be a local church pastor. And he appointed, you know, normally men in this position. But sometimes he would go out and he would get have a church, you know, get started, and he would get it organized, And then all of a sudden you would have these hucksters come in that they saw, wow, this is an opportunity for us to make some money, to get a position for ourselves. And they would come in these churches acting like they were apostles of God and they were called to ministry. And sometimes they would come in with such great fanfare that the people were aghast. Wow, these guys are something else. Look at how they talk. Look at how impressive looking they are. And so they would just follow their line, hook, line, and sinker. But the problem is, oftentimes, what they were teaching was a false doctrine. Because they would come in, and we're going to read the things they did to the people when they came in a moment. And it's so interesting because it really points out what we deal with in the church today. Because these guys came in with all of their, you know, great looks and all their beautiful, you know, elegant speech, you know, speech and talking and the way they were able to present themselves. But then they put the people in bondage. They were harsh on the people. Like in one part where it talks about slapping in the face, and when we study Irenaeus and some of the ancient writings, they actually did. And they thought that was a godly thing. You know, you talk back to me, I'm the pastor. You know, shut up. That's a good idea, but it's not my style. But, amen. But the point is, the people were like, wow, look at how impressive they are. They slap us and everything. They're so, you know, they're so of the Lord. Where Paul would just come in and just share the truth. And say, hey, I'm sharing the truth with you. I want God to work this in your life, which is the way our church hopefully is. And that's where the conflict came. And because Paul, of course, was a very intelligent man, and he taught the Word of God, it was contrary to what these false teachers were teaching. And so if you can't refute the truth, what do? You attack the person. Isn't that what we see in politics as well? You can't stand up against the argument, so you attack the person. And so they started attacking Paul and putting him down and like that. So we're picking up in verse 5 of chapter 11. And he says, for I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles, even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. Notice that. But we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted? Because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge. I robbed other churches. He didn't actually. The Mesopotamian church, supported him. I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything, I kept myself from being burdensome to you. So I will keep myself. And the irony, of course, is here that because of his tenderness and pastoral care for these Corinthian believers, he didn't take any wages, and they used it against them. See, he isn't even confident enough to be paid by us, you know, to take anything from us. Verse 10. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the region of Achaia. Now remember, Achaia was basically all of Greece at that time, and Corinth was its capital. Why? Because I do not love you. God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to re-regard it, just as we are in the things of which they boast. In other words, these people were saying, we're just like Paul, we're ministers of the gospel. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, he's calling them his Satan's ministers, also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Wow. Now, the first thing we have to understand, if you look at verse 5, the apostles that he's talking about, they're the more eminent apostles, he's not talking about the 11. He's talking about these false apostles that were coming in, claiming to have this kind of authority. And you notice the sarcasm, these eminent apostles. It's wonderful to hear Paul use sarcasm. You know what I'm saying? Because it shows his human side. And sometimes it's a way of really making a strong point if you use sarcasm in a right way. And these guys that were coming in, they actually considered themselves celebrities, much like some of the media ministries that we see today. Understand this. I have no problem with a pastor or a ministry receiving a fair wage. As a matter of fact, we're going to find, I'll share in a moment, there's a portion of Scripture where Paul was writing to Timothy, and he commanded that a pastor should receive a fair wage. But there's a big difference between a fair wage and opulence. When I read about some of these media ministers that we have in our nation, and they live in $4.2 million houses, they have private jet planes, and all of that is off of the backs of people who are sending in their offerings, that's a travesty, and it's completely contrary to the Word of God. Because they're making a fortune out of using the gospel as a means of gain. And that's very, very wrong. And if you watch some of them, they're so confident and they're so bold and da 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 da. And so many people in the church today, they're burdened with the demon of poverty. No, some of us are just poor. It's not a demon of poverty. That's our station in life. It's okay. And what they're doing is they're really lifting. And think about it. They act like superstars. Have you ever seen any of them? The way they walk around, you would think they're superstars. I don't think Paul walked around like that. I think when Paul walked into a place, people would be like, who's he? Look at that guy. He's just very humble. But he was preaching the truth. Now, Paul, he's making the point that they may have been gifted speakers, but their message was a lie. We have to remember, in Greek culture, the ability to speak was considered a great gift, and it was honored. And Corinth is the very capital of what was ancient Greece. And even though the Greeks lost, it's called Hellenization. The Greek culture actually took over the world. Even though the Greeks lost, their culture took over. And this whole idea of being a great orator, being able to speak, was considered wonderful. And apparently Paul wasn't a great speaker, but he said, I'm very learned, and he was. He was a very learned, intelligent man studying under the feet of Gamaliel. He would be today what we would call not only a PhD, but we would call him a professor. He was very intelligent. But intelligence doesn't mean you're a great speaker. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it's just like Dr. Harry Ironside, and he said that a intelligent man who loves the Lord and is humble, he will speak in such a way that he puts the cookies on the bottom shelf that everyone can have access to them. You follow what I'm saying? In other words, an intelligent man who is humble doesn't come out and try to impress everyone with how wonderfully he speaks. He's just going to speak in such a way that everyone understands. And, J. Vernon McGee is the one who made that comment about Dr. Harry Ironside, said he was one of the most intelligent men he ever met. But he said when he preaches, he said anyone can understand him. And that's the point Paul was trying to make. I'm not here to try to impress you with eloquence of speech. I'm just sharing the truth with you that you can apply it to your life. I remember years ago, Vi and I actually came across some sound tapes of A.W. Tozier. Now, A.W. Tozier is absolutely one of my favorite authors. He was a Christian missionary and Alliance pastor, and he was born in the late 1800s. He died in 1963. And just a great man of God, and his books are like, holy mackerel. You just can't. So we found these sound tapes, and I said, I can't wait. I'm going to hear him preach. And he comes on, hey, I want everyone to open their Bible to. I want you to go to page. And I'm thinking, what? But you listen to his message, and it was just as weighty as his books. It was like, wow. But I always thought of Paul. that's probably the way he was. Here's this guy, he's so intelligent, he could write, but probably when he spoke, he wasn't very impressive. In fact, he's accused of not being impressive of speech or looks. And we know he had poor eyesight because he wrote a couple times, "See the big letters I write? I sign with my own hand. See the big letters I'm using?" So he probably wasn't a very impressive-looking guy, but he had the truth. He had the truth that he was sharing. And that's what Paul is trying to bring these people to realize. It's not a matter of how, and think about it today. How many churches and ministries do you hear of? It's all about the presentation. Sometimes I just can't help it. I want to just see what some of these media ministries are doing. And it looks like a stage performance to me. You know what I mean? They've got all this and that and all this going on and that going on. And it's like a stage performance. And the thing that's amazing is I'll listen to these guys preach and they say nothing. They literally say nothing. All it is a positive speaking speech, period. That's it. Anyway, that's what he was dealing with. Now, Paul came humbly, demanding nothing, demanding no wages, because he didn't want anything to detract from the gospel. Now remember, in 1 Timothy 5:8 and Galatians 6:6, Paul's the one who said that a preacher should receive a wage. But there are times that exceptions have to be made. There are always exceptions to rules. And what Paul was thinking, if I come in here and I'm demanding any kind of wage from these people by ministering to them, I think it's going to distract them. The Lord probably showed him that. And so he wanted nothing from them. So they couldn't say anything. I'm just here to teach you. And, of course, these very powerful speakers used that against him. And Paul, of course, then he warns them about these false apostles who were coming in with all these false teachings. And these false apostles claim to be blessed. They claim to be sent of God. But in reality, we're told here, they're ministers of Satan. I mean, that should make our hair stand on end. I mean, Satan has ministers that are out there. Wow. I'll tell you, the world is not as dangerous to a believer as false teaching is. Understand it. Okay, moving on to verse 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 16. Am I in 11? Yeah, verse 16. I say again, let no one think me a fool, if otherwise at least receive me as a fool, that I also may boast a little. What I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting, seeing that my boast according to the flesh, I also see that many boast according to the flesh, I also will boast. For you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. See the sarcasm? For you put up with it if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you in the face. To our shame, I say that we were weak for that. We were too weak for that. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. One of the things you're going to notice when we go into what I'm going to be sharing here right now, these guys were coming in boasting how wonderful they were. And Paul accomplished so many things. He planted churches. God worked miracles through him. You know, he did so many awesome things, but he doesn't mention any of those. All he's going to mention is the difficulty and the infirmities that he went through for their sake. So pay attention. Verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prison more frequently. In deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. We are weak. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is made to stumble? And I do not burn with indignation. When he sees people stumbling because of false teaching, it causes him to burn with indignation. Verse 30, if I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Artius, the king, was guarding the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desiring to arrest me, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. Now, these false teachers who criticized Paul, they bragged using lies and deception to draw followers after them. And because Paul's teaching exposed their lies, that's why they hated him. And so the people were so impressed with these people, Paul really felt like he had to come out, and he didn't like doing this, but he needed to point out to them all that he was willing and did really suffer for the Lord and for their sake. And we're going to see that Paul is boasting in this way really to protect them. Because here's what he's saying. Look at these guys are coming in telling you all kinds of things about themselves to build themselves up. It's all unsubstantiated. In fact, much of it can be proven to be false. And he said, and they're telling you all these lies. But I'm going to tell you all the things that I went through because I love you. Because I love the Lord. And all of this is documented and all of this can be substantiated. That's what Paul was telling the people at this point. And so he said, this is why you need to put up with my bragging. I'm not bragging in all the wonderful things I did. I'm bragging in what I was. Because think about it. Sometimes, even in relationships, we're more impressed and more blessed by what the person we love is willing to do in sacrifice for us than the actual things they do for us. Do you follow what I'm saying? When you know that this person has given something up to bless you because they love you, that oftentimes is much more impressive and touches our heart more than if they gave you something or did something for you. And so that's the kind of thing, you know, the philosophy or the idea that Paul was trying to present here. And because he was telling the Corinthian church, he said, you listen to this bragging and you put up with it and they're taking you down a wrong road. You need to have your eyes open. And he says, they turned around and they brought you into bondage. They take your possessions and they strike you in the face and you think they're great. You know? Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you right now, the Lord has shown me that if after church each one of you gives me $1,000, that he's going to bless you tenfold. And when you leave here sometime next week, it might be a surprise check in the mail. It might be a relative dies. It might be whatever, but you're going to have $10,000. And so if you want to see God's blessing, just come up here after church and put the greenbacks in my hand. And one thing I can tell you for sure, I'll be blessed. But you understand the point I'm making. I'm over-exaggerating, but that was really the point of these false teachers that were coming in, just to take the money. You know, one of the things that you'll notice about our fellowship is we never talk about money. If it comes up in Scripture, you know, anything on tithing and whatever, we talk about it. But we never talk about money. We never ask for money. We never beg for money. You know why? Because God is the one who supplies. And if He doesn't supply, He doesn't supply. You know, maybe we need to be in prayer and see why. But that's the point Paul was doing. He was trying to bring them back to their senses. And Paul says, are they Hebrews? Are they Israelites? He says, I can prove my genealogy. You know, he studied at the feet of Gamaliel. And he was truly a minister of God. And when he says, five times he received the 40 stripes minus one, you might wonder why they say 40 stripes minus one. in Deuteronomy 25, verse 3, only 40 blows were allowed to be given by the law. And so by giving 39, it showed that you were lenient. So that was the whole... And it got to be a religious thing. See, we're lenient. We're only going to do it 39 times. You know, we're lenient. And many times, people who were beaten like that, they got infection and the loss of blood, they died. Many people died from that beating. Three times he was beaten with rods, Acts 16. And when people were beaten with rods, very often their ribs were broken, and sometimes their back was broken, and they were crippled the rest of their life. This wasn't a little thing. And he in Acts 14, 19, he was stoned and left for dead. That's when he entered into the third heaven, he said. He said whether he wasn't sure if it was in spirit or in reality, how it was. And he was shipwrecked three times. He spent a day and a night in the open sea. Can you imagine? And Paul went through all of this for one reason. He loved the Lord. And he wanted to serve Him. And he was committed to the people that he was sent to minister to. That's the reason he did this. He traveled continuously. You know, sometimes we have this, romantic idea. Can you imagine how fun it would be to be traveling all the time? Well, let me tell you something. If you get a chance to do that for even a short period of time, it gets old real quick. Going from, motel to hotel, to one room to another and carrying your everything, it gets old real quick. And Paul didn't have much. He started off as a wealthy man, ended up with nothing. He gave it all in service to the Lord. And remember, everything Paul had and told them, went through and told them, was documented. And because Paul wrote this letter that we're reading here during his third missionary journey, guess what? His suffering wasn't through yet. In fact, some of his worst suffering was yet to come. But yet, as we look at this, one of the things that we see is that Paul's greatest burden wasn't the difficulties he went through. It was for the people that he loved. He says, I've loved you with a godly jealousy. I promised you, I pledged you as a virgin to Jesus Christ, talking spiritually. That's the love he had for the people that he was ministering to. And that's the love any pastor should have for his flock. Not a love to get famous or a desire to get famous or to be rich or to have, but just concern for them. You know, and that's why I am so strong on encouraging people to study the Word of God. What I'm sharing with you, I hope stirs you up. We're going right through the Bible. I hope it stirs you up to want to go and dig in on your own. Because the only one who can change your heart is the Holy Spirit. I can get up here and emotionally get you all worked up and make you feel you should be doing this and you should not be doing that. And maybe you might do those things for a short period of time and then you fall away from that promise or commitment. Why? Because it was me. I don't want it to be me. I want it to be the Holy Spirit that speaks to you. Because when He works something in your heart, it continues. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect in the commitment you made. You know, you might fall, but you know what? You're going to get back up and get going with it again. And what a gracious, loving God we serve. And that's the thing that comes through when you really look at Paul in these kinds of teachings. He wasn't this harsh guy. And you think of so many religious, organizations and groups. You have all of this hierarchy, bishops and archbishops, coming all the way down, and they just control everything. And then you have these pastors that we call heavy shepherds, that they're watching every move you make, and they're going to call you out on everything you do, and they're going to call a committee together and bring you in and, chew you out. You're doing... That's not the way Paul operated. That's not the way we see the ministry, being exercised in Scripture. The ministry is the ministry of the Word of Almighty God. And I share the Word of God with you, and it is the Word, and it is His Spirit that directs and guides you. Not me, brothers and sisters. I have one guide myself, and that's the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Shadrach, Meshach, Lotterich, we have to bring this CD in sometime and and play it. And it's his describing God. It's like, oh, man. But anyway, Shadrach, Meshach, Lotterich, he had this little twist on the 23rd Psalm. And he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want." Amen. Father, we thank you so much for your word and the way it speaks to our heart, the truth that it really brings into our conscience and the awareness that it gives us of our absolute desperate need for you. Lord, you are the one who directs our path. And I pray, Father, that what we have studied this morning would speak to our hearts and encourage us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.